But I want to spend this morning, we were spending some time on talking about the end times and the millennium and how we in the Battle of Armageddon and things, the Great White Throne Judgment and all that took place there. But I got to thinking, man, I didn't spend much time at all on the rapture. And the rapture is what we want to, what we're looking for.
Amen.
If you're not, there's something wrong. Because the rapture is going to get us out of this crazy world. The rapture is what this world needs. And you think it's crazy now, you miss the rapture. Oh my word. What we read in Revelation was the last part of the book of Revelation, chapter 12. Well, we went through a little bit of 19, 20, and 21. But those previous chapters up to that point, it talks about awful, awful things. Can you imagine? It's hot out there. You know that? Imagine the sun getting 7 times hotter than it is now. That's one of the things that's going to happen. Imagine the water turning to blood. Imagine supernatural locust that can bite you or sting you and they hurt you so badly that they want to, that you want to die and you can't die. You can't step in front of a truck and die. The Bible says God's not going to let them die. It's an awful, awful time. And you say, why would God do that? Remember something. Through the entire history of mankind, God has been trying to get man's attention. That's what he's tried to do. He sent prophets. He sent preachers. He sent missionaries. He sent Bibles. He sent Jesus. He sent all kinds of people to tell them the truth, tell the world the truth. And he's about done. In fact, what you read about in the 7-year tribulation period is God, his last ditch effort at getting man's attention. And you think, how much worse can it get right now? I want you to know something. Without, we've got places in our country that they've forbidden the police to go in. 6 blocks, city blocks in Seattle. And it's being run by anarchists. Rape. Hey, that's going on. Murders going on. No police. Hey, who's to stop them? You let that take place everywhere. Because that's going to be a picture of what takes place during the tribulation. The Bible talks about during the tribulation, about 3/4, about 75% of the world's population is going to die by one plague or another. Just the disease alone from the decaying bodies would kill many. Where are you going to bury 3/4? Every one of us has to bury 3 bodies. And that's the entire, the 1/4 of the world's going to have to bury 3 bodies, each person. How would you do that? And I'm saying all that to say this. I want us to get a glimpse of the book of Revelation and the tribulation coming, because I don't want you to be here.
Amen.
When the rapture takes place, the Jehovah's Witnesses can have their building back. Amen? Because they're going to be here. They don't believe in Jesus. And by the way, they're pacifists. None of them sign up for the service, the military. Makes me wonder if they would even defend their home if somebody was breaking in. You don't want to try that with me. Amen. Anyway, let's get off that. But I want to read some verses here, and we're going to skip around a little bit. But I want to start, let's stand in honor of the Word of God. I want to go to 2 Titus, I'll get it right in a minute. Titus chapter 2. Well, I've got so many verses and references that we're going to go to, but we're going to start here in Titus chapter 2, and we're going to talk about the blessed hope. It says, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ." By the way, there's no comma between the great God and our Savior. They're talking about, and by the way, God the Father's not, and I've never read any place in the Bible that God the Father's going to come back after us. But I've read Jesus is talking about, he says, "I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." Jesus is coming after us, but I've never read anywhere where God the Father's coming after us. It's going to be Jesus. And that verse right there, it says, "In the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ," is talking about Jesus being the great God and Jesus being our Savior. Okay? Look at verse 14. It says, "Who gave himself for who?"
Us.
"For us." That in itself should just cause us to stand in awe of him. "Who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, what a blessing it is to be in your house with your people. And Lord, what a blessing it is to be here and read from this blessed book about that blessed hope. When our blessed Savior comes back after us and raptures us out of this crazy, crazy world and takes us to that blessed home on the other side. And Lord, that's what we're looking forward to. And Lord, I'm so anxious to go. But Lord, don't let us be so heavenly minded that we're no earthly good. You've got work for us to do. And so Lord, keep us focused. Even though we see the finish line and it sure seems to be getting closer all the time. But Lord, help us not to shirk the responsibility of reaching those around us that you've given us. Lord, meet with us tonight and keep the preacher out of your way. Good grief. Lord, you know that there's no good in him at all. No good in this preacher at all, except Jesus. Lord, let your Holy Spirit be the speaker, the preacher tonight. And let us hear clearly from him. For it's in that holy name of Jesus we pray. Amen. You can be seated. I look at this particular passage, and Paul understood some things that you and I need to understand. And we always hear about the rapture, but where do you find the rapture in the Bible? Well, there's a number of places we're going to go. There are a lot of people that don't believe in the rapture. Now, I want you to get this, because the word rapture is not in the Bible, okay? It comes from a Greek word called rapto, which means to be caught out. And that's what Jesus is going to do with us. He's going to call us out one day, and what we're going to do is we're going to leave. And I had that about 6 weeks ago, I had that knee replacement. You know, one of the interesting things about that is going to be when I'm raptured out, my clothes, my wallet, my watch are going to fall to the ground with that artificial knee. They'll be able to tell who it was because those things have serial numbers on them. But they'll also have my wallet and my credit cards, and they can have them by then. But the interesting thing is, when Jesus comes after us, he's guaranteed that he's going to take us home. Now, Sharon and I were talking a little bit about this. How does that work, preacher? Well, I tell you what, let's run some verses. Go to Revelation chapter 4. I like this. Revelation chapter 4. Now, we were in Revelation this morning. This is the Revelation chapter 3, chapter 2 and 3 are the letters that John wrote from Jesus. He's just, Jesus dictates to him what to write. And John gives these churches, these seven churches in Asia Minor, these seven letters. But in chapter 4, right after the last letter to the Laodicean church, verse 1 says, "After this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was at the, as it were, of a trumpet talking with me." Now, if you go back to chapter 1, you'll see that that's nobody else but the Lord Jesus. I'm not going to run the references there, but you can do the study later. But it says, the voice of a trumpet talking with me, and it said, which said, "Come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter." What this voice is telling Jesus, or telling John, is the fact that I want you to come up here. And this is a picture of what's going to happen at the rapture. Now, I'm saying that to say this. By the way, they say when the trumpet sounds, and I know I hear all the songs that talk about Gabriel licking his lips, getting ready to blow the trumpet. I'm of the opinion that it's not Gabriel at all, but it's the voice of the Lord Jesus. Let's go to John. I see some puzzled looks, but go to Revelation chapter 1. Now look at verse 10. It says, this is John writing, he says, "I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet." And we'll go on a little farther. It goes on to say, saying, "I am the Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. And what thou seest, write in a book." Now skip on down to verse 17. Actually, it's 16. It says, "And he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword." That's none other than the Word of God. That's Jesus, the Word of God coming out of the mouth of Jesus. And it says, "And his countenance was as the sun shineth in its strength." Remember what Jesus, just a couple weeks ago, we preached about Matthew chapter 17, where Jesus was on the Mount of Transfiguration, and he shone like the sun. But look, we'll prove it a little farther. Look at verse 17. "And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead, and he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, Fear not, I am the first and the last." Look at verse 18. "I am he that liveth and was dead." No place in the Scriptures do you find where God the Father ever died. Nowhere in the Scriptures can you find where the Holy Spirit ever died. This is none other than the Lord Jesus. So the "come up hither" and the voice of a trumpet may just well be what we're looking for. I believe it is. But let's move on. We've got a few verses we want to run here, but that's what it's talking about. By the way, in chapter 4, verse 1, you don't see anything about the Christians in heaven or on earth after that point until way late in the book of Revelation. Well, while we're in Revelation, go to Revelation chapter 3. There's a verse here I want us to look at, because it gives us a little indication here. And it says,
verse 10, Revelation 3:10 says, "Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth." Now, what do you mean, preacher? Well, I want you to know that this is a particular indication of the rapture and the tribulation that's coming. And the Lord says, I'm going to keep you from the hour of temptation, the tribulation that's coming on the world. Why is the tribulation coming on the world? It says, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. I want you to understand this in the fact that God doesn't need to try you and me. We're saved. He's trying, the tribulation is God turning up the heat, so to speak, to get people that aren't saved to recognize Him and come to Him. That's what it's all about. That's what this verse is talking about. Now let's go to 1 Thessalonians chapter. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. This is a lot about what the rapture is going to be like. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And let's start with verse 14 that says, "For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him." Who's going to bring with him? God? Yeah, God the Son. Amen. You know, that blows a lot of people's minds when they see things like this. Oh, that can't be Jesus. That's got to be God. Jesus is God. Okay? Don't get caught up in this, but it says, I like this in the fact that it said, "Even so, them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him." Those that sleep in Jesus. Now, this is referring to people that have died. Their body, and they're saved, and their body is in the grave. But my Bible tells me, absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Amen. Okay? What happened to Lazarus in Luke chapter 16? As soon as he died, he went to heaven. He went to Abraham's bosom, which is what we would call, that was the holding place at that time. Before, they couldn't go to heaven until after the resurrection. But I want you to get this, because this is talking about those that died in Jesus, God's going to bring with him. When Jesus comes back at the rapture, you've heard about the clouds that he's coming back on. I'm of the opinion that it's not clouds, fluffy white clouds, but it's Hebrews chapter 12, it's clouds of witnesses. Okay? What's going to happen? He's coming back. And when he comes back, it's going to look like clouds, because all these souls are going to be dressed in white. And what's going to happen? Well, let's look at what it says. "For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first." Now, get the picture. Sharon's mama, my mom and dad, they've passed away. They were saved. These are people that whose body is in the grave. It's decayed. But what's going to happen is when Jesus comes back at the rapture, like I mentioned this morning, this is not, the rapture is not the second coming of Christ. Okay? Because Jesus does not set his foot on planet Earth. He comes back to the atmosphere. And that's why this verse says that it says, "For the Lord himself shall descend with from heaven with a shout and the voice of the archangel and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord where? In the air. Okay? He's not going to come back to planet Earth until the Battle of Armageddon, 7 years later. Okay? But I want you to get the picture in the fact that sometimes people mess it up because they think, well, somebody, so-and-so's in the grave and they sleep with, they're sleeping. Yeah, their body's asleep. Their body is dead. But their soul's somewhere. And I use this verse when you go back to Genesis chapter 2. It says that God made Adam a living soul. I want you to get that, a living soul. That means his soul was going to live on because God wanted fellowship with Adam forever. And Adam's soul is going to spend eternity somewhere. Your soul is going to spend eternity somewhere. Everyone's soul is going to spend eternity somewhere. So when your body dies, what happens is your soul leaves your body. And you're going to go either to one or two places. You're going to go to heaven if you're saved, and you're going to go to hell if you're not. Just the same way as Lazarus and the rich man in Luke 16. But what happens is these bodies that are in the grave, they're going to be changed. And I'm not going to go there, but 1 Corinthians chapter 15 talks about the fact that that corruptible will put on incorruption. And that mortal shall put on immortality. And what happens is the body, my dad's body, when the rapture takes place, his body is going to be changed. He's going to get a glorified body like Jesus's, according to 1 John 3:2. And what happens is his body is going to join together with his soul that's coming back with Jesus. Okay? The longer y'all give me those puzzled looks, the longer I'm going to stay on these points. But the truth is, this is simple, and it says the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And that means when the rapture takes place, like I mentioned a while ago, that my knee replacement's going to hit the ground probably before my jacket will. Because it's going to be heavier. But anyway, it'll probably a lot heavier than my wallet too. But the truth is, the rapture takes place, our bodies are changed. Because what happens is God can't allow sin into his presence. And when Jesus comes back, the rapture is going to make us, it's going to change us. And I love this. I'm going to read it through it again, verse 16 and 17. And I want us to, I'm going to just kind of slow it down a little bit. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. I want you to, I get excited over thinking about this. The Lord's not sending Moses or Gabriel or Michael or Daniel or Peter after us. He's coming after his bride himself. The creator of all things. He doesn't want to give that task to anybody else. He loves us. He wants to be with us so bad. He's anxious. He's chomping at the bit to come and gather his own. I'm going to tell you, that thrills my soul. That he's as anxious to come get me as I am for him to come get me. It says, the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. That means the people that have died and are in the graves, that's where they're going to be. By the way, don't worry about those that I know that some people... They have been cremated. I know that some people talk about cremation as a way of keeping God from bringing them back alive. And so that they can't be judged. I got news for them. God made them once. He can make them again. And by the way, their soul's going to spend eternity somewhere. Okay? So even if their body's cremated, their soul is still going to be either in heaven or hell. But look at what it says. And that then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Now, verse 18 is one of my favorites in Scripture. Because it says, wherefore comfort one another with these words. You know, that's why I'm preaching this tonight. Because I want us in this crazy world, I want us to be comforted that there's a better time coming. Okay? The best is yet to come. In fact, it's so good that we don't have anything to compare it to. Look a little farther down in chapter 5. There's a verse here that I'm not sure I've heard anybody preach out of. But to me, it talks to me about the rapture. And verse 9, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, it says, for God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I want you to get that. God has not appointed us to wrath. Paul's writing this letter to the Christians at Thessalonica. And what he's doing is he's encouraging them. And what this verse tells me, it's not God hasn't appointed you and I to wrath because we're saved. We're His children. The wrath is not for God's children, okay? The wrath is for the devil's kids. He's got spankings for you and I. He's got chastenings for us, His children. But His wrath is not reserved for us. And this verse here, it says, God has not appointed us to wrath. There's no wrath coming our way. Why? Because we're saved. While we're in 1 Thessalonians, go to chapter 3. And look at another verse. Verse 13, the last verse in the chapter. It says, to the end he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all His saints. See how Jesus is coming back? He's coming back with His saints. Those that are saved are coming back with Him. That encourages me. I won't have to wait till I get to heaven to see mom and dad. Because they'll be in the crowd. In the cloud. In the cloud crowd. But anyway. But the truth is, hey, they're going to come back with Jesus. And what I get, I like these verses. While we're here, let's go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 1 and 2. And I know I'm covering a lot of this quick, but I want to drive the point home. One of the things that America does, and most countries do, I'm not going to say some of these idiotic countries do, but most countries do, is before they declare war on another country, they call their ambassadors home. I want you to get this. This is a simple concept. When the rapture takes place, that's God calling His ambassadors home. The tribulation is God declaring war on planet Earth. He's turning up the heat. He's making it in such a fashion that they're going to either have to outright deny Him. And if you go through the book of Revelation, you see where they call on the mountains to hide them from Him rather than repent. Just utter craziness. But look at what it says in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. It says, now we beseech you, brethren,
by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto him, that ye be not so soon shaken in mind, or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as that day, that the day of Christ is at hand. What Paul's writing about is the fact that some people were sending letters about that the rapture had already taken place and really stirred up these Christians in Thessalonica. I got news for you. The rapture hadn't taken place yet. There are a lot of people, and I hope every single person in this room tonight goes up at the rapture. That's my desire. My desire is for everybody I have a contact with. I've been mentioning it a little bit. Because of the craziness that's going on in our country, I'm finding that young people are more apt to take tracts and be grateful for them. Had a young lady, Monday, I guess it was, we took the food over to the family, and I went in, got the food at Bob Evans for them, and gave this one girl a tract. She said, "Oh, thank you. I could use that." And I said, "We all can." And I said, "I'll give you some more if you promise to read them." She said, "Oh, I'll read them all." And I said, "Okay." So I gave her three other different ones. And she said, "Is there any order I need to read them in?" I said, "No, ma'am. You just read them." And I said, "We give them out because we want to see you in heaven." This girl, probably not more than 18 years old. I want you to know people are looking. They see the craziness. They see the world going in such a nutty direction. And all we've got to do is just remember, hey, they might not make it if we don't touch them, if we don't give them a track, if we don't witness to them. Maybe nobody else ever cared enough for them. One more place. Let's go to Jude. Go to Revelation, and right in front of Revelation chapter 1 is Jude chapter 1. Don't look for Jude chapter 2, okay? If you find it, throw the Bible away, okay? All right. But look at what it says. Let's start with verse 12. It says, "These are spots in your feasts of charity. When they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear, clouds they are, without water, carried about with of winds, trees whose fruit withereth, without fruit, dead, twice dead, plucked up by the roots, raging waves of the sea, foaming out their own shame, wandering stars, to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever." Those are some bad curses that are coming. But look at what it says in verse 14. "And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints." Now, as far as I know, and I've never seen, I've read the Bible, Enoch never had a quote in the scriptures anywhere in the Old Testament. This is the only place where we see Enoch mention that he was a preacher and prophesied. Now, how on earth would Jude know that? The Holy Spirit told him. That's how you've got the Bible. And by the way, Enoch was preaching about the end time. Jesus coming back. That's what it says. The Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints. That's at the rapture. Okay? I want you to get that. Is the rapture real, preacher? Absolutely. Remember what happened to Noah? God was sending the flood.
What happened to Noah? God gave Noah a way out. He told him about it, and he built an ark. You know what your ark is? Your faith in Jesus. That's going to cause you to miss the tribulation that's coming, the flood, so to speak, that's coming. Same thing with Lot. Even though Lot was just, there was so much in Lot's life that was messed up, his testimony was just atrocious. Yet what happened? God sent the two angels to drag Lot and his wife out of Sodom. Lot and his wife and two daughters out of Sodom before he rained judgment on them. Those are pictures of what God's going to do at the rapture. You say, well, it's never been, it never happened before. God never needed to do it before, but it's in the book, right? You've got to ignore a lot of scripture, and I didn't come close to mentioning all of them, but you've got to ignore a lot of scripture to say there's no such thing as a rapture. But I want to make sure everybody here is ready, because it could happen before we get home tonight. The most important thing is, are you ready? Because if the rapture takes place, and I didn't go there, but I want you to read 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. If the rapture takes place and you're left behind and you've heard a message like this about getting saved and you ignore it, you will not be able to get saved. Because the Bible says Satan, God will cause them to believe a lie. He will send on them strong delusion to believe a lie. And that's what we see in our world today. The strong delusion is taking over. So don't think you're going to, the rapture is going to happen. Well, I'm going to get saved now. That's not going to happen. If your name's not in God's book when the rapture takes place, and you've heard a message like this, you're doomed to spend eternity in the lake of fire. Now, I'm not trying to scare anybody. I want to encourage you to get saved if you're not saved. And if you're not sure, let's get it settled tonight. Amen. The most important thing is, because none of us know what might happen in the next week. I was mentioning this morning that I had a severe asthma attack 30 years ago in my living room. Both lungs collapsed. I was a 35-year-old young man. I could have died. I was ready to go. I was saved. But I sure am glad the Lord gave me a chance to come back, because I've had 30 years of serving Him that I wouldn't have had. If you don't have in your heart, if you're not sure, I want you to get settled tonight. Because that lake of fire is a real place. The rich man said, I am tormented in this flame. That kind of torment. I'll say this and I'll close. I was driving the bus a couple years ago, I guess, and had a guy, it was this time of year, just downright scorching hot outside, and had a man say, get on the bus, and he said, man, this air feels good. It's hot as hell out there. And I said, I don't think so. He said, what do you mean? I said, in hell, you're going to be on fire. I don't think you're on fire, are you? He said, man, you just messed up one of my favorite sayings. But every time he gets hot, every time he goes to say that, he's going to think about what I told him. Don't think hell's just something that we talk about. It's a literal place. And it cannot. And by the way, it is a place where people are going But when they do, they're trespassing, because it's the devil's home. It's the place for the devil and his angels. God never intended on people going there. Is your name in God's book? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you thanking you for your many blessings. And Lord, what a blessing it is to know that your rapture is may be right around the corner. Lord, my desire is if there's anybody that's not saved in our midst, Lord, we want to see you do something special and reach their heart and get them saved. And if they don't have any assurance of it, get it settled tonight. Lord, we love you. Thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in each of our hearts even now. For it's in the holy name of Jesus we pray. Amen.